Good morning, Drift Run.
Good morning.
Boy, it's good to be back out with you again today. Boy, God's good, isn't
he? Amen.
He is so good to us. So good to feel his spirit.
Amen.
It's so good to know that he's still in control, is it not? It's good to know that. I'll tell you what, praise God this morning. I'll tell you what, praise the Lord this morning. If you would, turn to Ephesians 6:12. Once you get there, I want you to turn to the person beside of you and to the person behind you and around you and say to them, "You are not my enemy." I want you to do that. Turn around and say that. Amen. I'll tell you. Then read Ephesians 6:12 with me. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, the person sitting beside of you, your neighbor, the friend, the people at work, and any other situation you come in contact is not your enemy. Do you understand that this morning? It can be easy sometimes to see people in our lives, and we kind of characterize them that way. Some people kind of say, "Well, they're my enemy. They're my enemy." You know what? They're not your enemy. Right here is your true enemy, right here, that I just read about right here. And we'll get it out. You know what? The Apostle Paul made it very clear that our enemies are not made of flesh and blood. He made it very clear right here whenever he said this. You see, the true enemy is Satan. He is our true enemy. And he loves it when he gets our mind off of situations, gets our mind on somebody else that's our enemy. Satan just stands back and laughs for glee because he knows, you know what? I've got them confused now. I've got them blinded to think that that's their enemy. And the true enemy is he himself, is Satan. Amen? He's a true enemy. He likes it. We ignore him whenever we do that. We're ignoring Satan totally. We're taking him completely out of the equation whenever we think that somebody else is our enemy. We're taking him completely out of it. Boy, he loves it. He absolutely loves it. Let us have a word of prayer, then we'll get started into the message, please. Father, as I come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart again. You know, Father, I can't praise you enough for what you've done. I cannot thank you enough for what you do and how that you take care of the situations in our lives, Lord. Father, there's too many times, Lord, we want it done our way, but Lord, we know that you know what's best, and Father, we know that you take care of them, Father. We praise you for that. Lord, I want to thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus, that died upon the cross, Lord, that's still living today, that sits on the right hand of the Father. And Lord, I want to thank you for that. Father, I want to praise you for that. And Father, I know, Father, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he's still able to save. Your hand is not short this morning. You're still able to save those which are lost if we put our trust and our hope in you. And Father, we just praise you and give you the glory for it all. We ask it in your Son, Jesus' name. And amen. You see, the strategy of Satan is compared to a lion. I say the scripture a good bit, but over 1 Peter 5:8-9. And I say it because it's so true. And it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." He, you know what? This old lion, whenever he's out hunting, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for the weak, is he not? He's looking for those that are weak, alone. He's looking for those that are unaware or confused. I'll tell you what, that's what Satan is looking for whenever he's out here in this world, when it says that he's roaring. That's what he's doing. You see, one of the times that a lion will roar Now get this. This is what he will do. Whenever a lion roars sometimes, especially if he sees his prey, he's wanting the prey to take off and run. He's not actually the one that's roaring, not actually the one that's going after the prey. They're just wanting to confuse the prey and get it to run. And you know what's happening whenever he does that? There's a whole other pack, the whole other pride's out there. And usually whenever that animal, whenever the victim takes off, it runs straight into the teeth of those that are waiting to destroy it. That's what it is. And you know, right into the jaws of the entire pride of the life, right? Satan may be doing that trick on you today. I don't know what is going on in your life this morning. I don't know. As a roaring lion, he may be roaring in your life today, trying to confuse you, trying to get you to take off and run. And when he's doing that, he knows that when you run away from church, away from God, away from Jesus, he's knowing that you're going to run right into a whole pride of trouble. He knows it. He knows that. So that's what, whenever he's roaring in your life, just come and listen to telling you to run away from your Christian brothers and sisters, your friends, your family, your church. He can get you running, steer you in the wrong direction, brother. I'll tell you what, it can be a battle each and every day of our lives. Can it not be? It can be that. I know some of you here are facing that in your life. It can be a battle each and every day. You know what? The stakes are very high in this war also. I want you to understand that. The stakes are high because the price of it is either heaven and hell. Do we understand that this morning? Do we truly comprehend that the battle that we're going through this morning, that price is heaven and hell, life or death? It is darkness or light. It is freedom or slavery, brother. You know what? It is reward or punishment. It can be that way. I want to give you a little illustration. The Alaskan bull moose. And just bear with me on this. Whenever the Alaskan bull moose, you know what? Every year the males battle for the right to breed. That's why they do this every fall. They do it every year for the mating season. They battle. And these huge animals, and if any of you have ever seen a moose, they know that they are absolutely just huge animals. Huge animals. And they grow these huge horns. And what it is, they battle, and they'll fight until one of them maybe breaks the horn off of the other one. And then you know what? And they battle and they fight. Every fall they do this. But what happens is, the battle's not won in the fall. The battle's won in the summer. Why? Because the more that they can eat, the more that they can take in, the bigger and stronger their antlers get, and the bigger that animal gets to where they can have, whenever this season comes, whenever this battle comes, they are able to withstand it. Satan does the same thing to us, brothers. You know what? He knows the season that when he tries to attack our lives, he's roaring, he tries to attack our lives, and you know what? Will we be victorious or will we lose the battle? It all depends. Just like the moose, how we take care of the spiritual diet in our lives before we get to these situations. Am I right? It does. I'm telling you, don't wait until Satan's roaring and coming after you before you decide that you want to dig in and try to get spiritually fed, because I'm going to tell you, it will not happen that way. Get yourself right with God. Get yourself into the Word of God. Get yourself spiritually prayed up so that whenever the time comes, you're able to withstand Him. You're able to fight. It's called the bull moose principle as far as I'm concerned. And brothers and sisters, we need to grab it with all that we have and use it. Be not ignorant. This war, this invisible war that we're fighting, it's being waged right here and now. It's being waged as we stand right here. The enemy of our soul wants to gain control of our hearts and of our minds. And I'll tell you what, he wants our kids' hearts and our kids' minds. He, you know, in this country we live in today. You see it. You see what's going on. He's worried about seeking whom he may devour. And you know what's so sad? He's not only seeking whom he will devour, he's doing it, is he not? He is doing it. He's going to, look, some of the stuff's already been mentioned. I preach it here a good bit, but I think it's worth repeating. Look at what he's doing in this country today. Look at what he's doing. My daughter was telling me the other day where they read something about how the military services now, Did you see where they're wanting that if you are a Christian and you have your beliefs and you make your beliefs public, that they can honorably discharge you? Dishonorably discharge you. Do you see that's what they're wanting to do? They don't want Christianity even mentioned in our religious services, in the Army, Navy, or the Army, Navy, Marines, or such. They don't want it mentioned anymore. That's what it's coming down to anymore. And look at how the homosexual issue is becoming compared to the civil rights issue. Have you seen that online? I read that in the paper myself the other day. They're wanting to compare something that is a sin in God's eyes. They're wanting to compare it to something like the civil rights issues in this country. I'll tell you, Michael, how blinded has Satan made these people? I'll tell you, what about abortion? They don't call it that anymore. They call it a woman's right to reproduce, her reproductive rights. That's what they call that now. They don't call it abortion. They don't call it that now. You see, have you noticed how they're changing this stuff? And did you see the battle this past week about the morning after pill? Where they wanted to take it down to where 15-year-olds can have it? Oh, no, they didn't want to do that now. They want to where all young girls could get it without parent permission and without a prescription. I know I'm one of the things. I know I'm going to that a little bit this morning. But I'll get to the point here in a little bit. You see how Satan, you see how he's roaring out there in this country today? And you know what they're doing? As he's roaring, there's people that are trying to run away. Yeah, they're scared, they're confused, and they're trying to blame it on all manner of things. Listen to me. The God of this earth, the God of this world, I'm talking about the little g, I'm talking about Satan, has people so confused, so mindless out here in the world, that you know what? They believe a lie and be damned. Amen. They are. They are doing that out there today. Listen to me. Brother and sister, the lion is roaring. Satan is roaring out there. Now tell me. Tell me there's not a battle going on. Tell me there's not a battle going on for the souls of mankind in this country today and across this world we live in. Many do not believe it. This is something that shocked me when I was studying for the sermon this week. 52% of evangelical Christians do not believe in a literal devil. Do not believe in it. Listen to me, 62% of American adults, two-thirds of American adults do not believe that the devil is real. They believe he's just a symbol of evil. Let me tell you something this morning. Satan is real, as you are real here this morning. He is a living being this morning. God created him. He is alive and unfortunately well in this country that we live in today. And you know what? You know what's so sad? And we wonder why this country's headed down the path it's headed in. Whenever they don't even want to stand up, they don't believe in the enemy that we need to stand up to. They don't believe that he exists. You see a major battlefield taking place within our churches today. It's time for the church world to wake up. Amen? Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Brothers and sisters, it's time the church wakes up. It's time that we do that. It's time we stand upon our two feet that God has given us and lift up our voices and let the world know that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. The sin of homosexuality is not going to send you to hell. The sin of alcoholism is not going to send you to hell. It's not believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you believe in Him as your personal Savior, all this other junk will take care of itself, amen? It will do that. Listen, wake up, church. Know who the adversary is. He goes by many aliases, does he not? Listen, he goes by Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the serpent, the prince of the world, the prince of demons. He goes by the dragon, the father of lies, the tempter. He goes by the angel of light and the accuser of the brethren. He's alive and well. He's not just a symbol. He is real. He is real. How does he do it? How does he do it building countless multitudes to the truth? Listen, how does he do it by building countless multitudes to the truth? 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hid, If our gospel is hid, listen to what it says. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine through unto them. You don't think he has people blinded today? You just watch and look. And I'm telling you, it's getting worse. He's got them blinded. He loves nothing more than to try and discredit the work of Christ in his church, does he not? Look at Matthew 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doeth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." They said that about Christ. What do you think they say about us? 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust. Yes, folks, this is serious. This is a serious battle that we are fighting. In the last days, there are going to come those that are going to scoff at the Word of God. Do you think that they're not doing it now? They are. They are. There's no doubt in my mind. As Christians, we will need resources in the battle that we are. If you go to Ephesians 6:13, it tells us to put on the full armor of God, does it not? That's what it tells us to do. Not part of it, but it said to put on all of it. So when the attack comes, not if they come, but when they come. Listen to me. The attacks are going to come on our lives, on our families, on everything that we do and hold true and hold precious in our life. The attacks will come someday. And we need the full armor of God. It's important to notice something about the armor of God. You know what? It's for the frontal. It's for a frontal attack. You know why? Because we're supposed to stand there. We're supposed to stand there in the power of God and fight. Whenever we run, just like I told you how the lion does, whenever he gets you confused and you start running away, God, you're open in the back. That's where he's going to attack and try to destroy. Whenever you run, if we retreat, we leave our backsides exposed to the enemy. You know that? We do that. Remember about the lion. When I told you, James 4:7 tells us if there's going to be any running to do, James 4:7 tells us who the devil will be the one that's going to run. Amen? James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If there's going to be any running to be done, it's going to be the devil, amen? Amen. Children of God, we don't need to run. We serve a living God. We serve a powerful God. We serve a God, I'm telling you, that can take care of these situations in our life. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You should have that on speed dial right there. You know that? Greater is he that is in you. You, whenever Christ died upon the cross, the victory was already won. It was done. Know this, the former can't be bought. It cannot be given by the government. Brother, it comes by faith in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where the armor of God comes. Now, I tell you, in the wars we have allies. You know, there's allies. And remember, the next time that the lion comes roaring in our lives, and not just any run-of-the-mill allies do we have. Listen to me. We have nothing less than the Trinity of God right there standing for us, right? We have the Father to go to. We have the Spirit to pray by. And we have Jesus Christ to pray through. Amen? We have allies on our side. We have it. When the devil comes roaring, trying to claim a victory in life, we don't need to fight for victory because the victory's already been won. It's already been won. I know we're going through troubles. I know there is. And trials, this can be hard to remember. But when you're in your neck up to alligators, it's hard to remember that your goal was to drain the swamp. I know that. I've been there. I know that. I know that. You know, there's been times in my life when trouble has come. And you know what? Satan has got me confused and got me thinking stuff that I shouldn't be thinking. And you know what? When he does that, I have to take him right back and say, Lord, I know that you're still God. I know that you are. And I believe that you can take care of this. Jesus has already won the victory at Calvary. Look at Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And listen to me. Jesus is already put Satan under his feet. And that scripture right there tells us, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. under your feet. Why? Because we don't do it in our own power. We do it in the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, you want us to follow His example. Amen? He wants us to follow. When Jesus said it was finished, you know what? Satan and all his demons, they were finished. They knew it. They were finished when Jesus said it. Let him roar. You know, let him roar. What if, you know, I believe we're to take this battle of this battle to him. I believe that. Do you believe that? Are you getting tired of being kicked around? Are you getting tired of that? Are you getting tired of assaulted and belittled? And taking on, you're taking and running every time you hear him roaring? Listen, it's time to go on the offensive. Amen? It is time to do that. We have weapons at our disposal. We do. You know what? If an enemy comes attacking us, and they have tanks, and they have jet fighter craft, and they have missiles, and they have all these things of war to come attacking us, and we step out and try to fight with a BB gun, how's that going to go for you? You better believe it. Silly, right? Why do Christians do the same thing whenever we're battling Satan? When we're battling the forces of evil, why do we try to do the same thing? We try to go out and fight him when we're halfway dressed for the battle. We don't use the weapons that he has given us. And we try to think that we're going to stand up against Satan. We do not stand up for Satan in our own power, do we not? We don't do that. We stand up in the power of Jesus Christ. The first big weapon we bring out is found in Ephesians 6:17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why? Because it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's alive, it is active, amen? It can hack to pieces, listen to this, all other false religions, all other philosophies, it can do that. It can attack them. Stop the devil right in his tracks with the Word of God. It can do that. When he comes dealing with that roaring lion of our life, the situation calls for our most powerful weapon. And that most powerful weapon is prayer. It is. Is it not, amen? It is. It is the battle for souls of men and women. The most powerful weapon we could use is prayer, brother. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Think of prayer like the special ops forces do. Think of this. You know what they'll do? They'll go out there and they'll take a laser and they'll hold it on a target. And when they hold it on that target, they can call in and they'll either send a fighter craft or a missile or even handheld ordnances, and they will hit that target right on the spot. You know where they got that from? They got that from us Christians. You understand? Because they know whenever we pray, it goes right up there and bam, it comes right back down to the target it's meant to hit. Amen. Isn't that amazing how the Word of God... I tell you, when we pray, we have a God that listens and hears our prayers. Amen. Think of it that way. I love it when a church... I know a church is praying for me. You can feel it. Don't you love it when people are praying for you? You can feel it. We're able to zero right in on it. Listen, Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit. You know what that means? It means under the influence of the Spirit. That's what he tells us to do. Whenever we pray in the Spirit, we're supposed to pray under the influence of the Spirit. Not some memorized prayer. Nothing like that. He wants us, whenever the Spirit of God comes in our life and it tells us to pray, when you get on your knees to pray and the Spirit of God is there and you're praying, I want you to know something, you're getting through to God. You're getting through to Him. Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit. Why should we direct the influence of God? Because turn to Romans 8, 26 and 27. I'll give you a second turn there. I think this is important. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth and what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Brothers and sisters, it's important to pray in the mind of the Spirit. Amen? It's important. And there are going to be times in our life when we don't know how to pray, but praise God, the Spirit is there to make intercession for us also. It's important that we know what the Spirit of God does. Listen, notice 6:18. It says, for we should be praying for all the saints. In Ephesians 6:18, when it talks about praying in the Spirit, we should be praying for one another. Amen? Amen? Should we not do that? I'll tell you what, I don't care if you think you like the person across the aisle from you. I don't care if you don't think you like your neighbor down the road. I want you to try something. Do it. Pray for them anyway. Pray that God would just set them on fire. Pray that God would use them. If you think they're wrong, you pray that God would straighten them out. And you know what? If you're in a mind of hatefulness, no one needs to be praying for yourself. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. I want to tell you something. I don't care what the stronghold you think in your life is. Prayer. We got weapons that we can pull down these strongholds. We have them. Amen? We've got them. We've got to have that tenacity about us when it comes to our prayer life. I'll tell you a little story. This is a true story. I read about that. I couldn't hardly believe this. Over in Africa, a man was walking down the road, and it was either a python or a boa constrictor. One of them got out and grabbed him. I don't know which one of those species is over there. And got a hold of him and was squeezing him to death. And this man could just feel, he said, it's starting hard to breathe. The snake got a hold of him. He said the only thing he knew to do was take and bite that snake on the neck right where he could get it. And he said he bit and he kicked, and finally that snake released because of his tenacity. I want to tell you something. We need dogged tenacity whenever we're praying to the Lord. You got lost loved ones? You have people? I want you to scratch, crawl, whatever it takes to get through to God. We need to do it. We need to try and do that. And keep on praying. Keep on believing. You know what? Let the old tempter roar. Let him know what he's up against. Okay? Let him know what he's up against. Let's meet him head on with the full armor of God. When he's coming at our lives and trying to tear us down, let's meet him head on. Let's don't back off and think, oh, that's Satan. I tell you what, my father owns the cattle on 10,000 hills, does he not? The God I serve, he made this world, he made this earth, he made me, he made you, he knows just exactly what we need, amen? Satan will put up a fight, that's the way, you know what, that's the way to victory. My prayer today for you is for you not to run. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus this morning, I want you to run to this altar. I want you to come up here this morning if you do not know him as your personal Savior. If you don't, you know, that battle for you, when you walk out of here, you may not know that you're in a battle, but I'll tell you what, you're in a battle. And that battle's for your soul. You know what? Christ is standing here with open arms wanting to take you in, saying, listen, come to me. That's all you got to do. Just come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will give you peace. Satan doesn't want you to have peace. He doesn't want you to have that whatsoever. Listen, let the old lion roar. Let him do what he will. I'm going to keep my hand in Jesus' hand. I'll tell you what. I praise God for what he's done. I praise God for what he's done. I'll tell you what, church. Let's pray that God will set us on fire and we can face the devil head on and never back down. Never. They come and get a song.